Nigel fell and left his living in a cheap hotel. Quiet.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. Coming up in just a little bit, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. Also, Chris Horn, Secretary of State candidate, and we'll close it out in 11 o'clock hour with Paul DeMarco, the Jefferson County Republican Party chairman. I'll join us, talk a little bit about yesterday's Supreme Court decision. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest from the 3rd Congressional District, Congressman Mike Rogers, on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you? Oh, Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Great.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Real quick before we get into it, any reaction to yesterday's high court decision on the congressional districts?
Yeah, I'm just really pleased to see them step in and take this action. I thought it was incredibly irresponsible for the three-judge panel to intervene at the 11th hour like they did and throw discord into what was going on in Alabama. If they thought there was merit to the litigation, they should have let it play out for the next cycle rather than trying to disrupt things right before qualifying ended. So it was a great sign. I hope that it's something they do across the country with these other lawsuits that are happening all across the country.
Right. Well, and that would have been a very, had stood, a crazy precedent that could have impacted the midterms. But we'll see how that plays out. Let's kick it off here. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on policy-wise, I think, in the White House. But look, we're seeing the consequences. I think in particular inflation, and you look at the price of goods, the price of gas, the price of commodities, it's impacting a lot of people here. You're the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee, and you look at these things through the kind of the lens of national security. How precarious of a position is this country in right now?
It's really bad. You know, I talked about this last night at our WHIP meeting up here in D.C., and I was telling our colleagues that, you know, the fact is we just did an authorization bill. You know, the president submitted a budget to us that literally cut defense below last year's cost of living increase. And we adjusted it and passed it through both chambers of Congress, and he signed it into law. We adjusted it to account for inflation plus 3% growth. What people need to understand is because of the inflation that's taking place at 7%, even if the appropriators, which they haven't done yet, had funded our authorized bill already, we would still be basically cutting defense because we only increased spending by 3%, but we're living with 7% inflation, which means a basic cut of 4% in spending for defense. In a day and time when we have a very dangerous world. I mean, this inflation is terrible. I know a lot of your listeners may not have been around back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president, but I was, and I know what inflation can do to people, how brutal it is, but I think that the inflation we've got now is going to be with us for a while, and we could have a whole other revisitation to what happened in the 1970s.
Well, and like I said, you look at it through a national security prism here. I mean, like, you know, one of the things you always look at the United States as being kind of stable, especially with commodities prices. We do a good job with our food supply and things like that, but we're on the bad end of that. And, you know, things are already kind of dicey politically in the United States. This is just going to add fuel to the fire.
It really is. I mean, instability for everybody. It's not just at the grocery store. One of the things that people in our part of the world feel most directly is gas. You know, we live in rural America, and unlike a lot of people who live in urban areas, everybody has to have a vehicle to move around. And when you see your cost of filling up your tank go up by $20 a week, that's meaningful. That has a real impact on people because most people have more than one car in their family. And that cuts into your ability to buy groceries, to buy clothes, and all the things that it costs to live. So this inflation is meaningful. And again, I can't overstate this when I tell people I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Something else that's on the minds of a lot of Americans, and I don't think it's quite as bad in our neck of the woods, Congressman, but around the country you just see the crime waves, the smash and grab, a lot of unrest in that arena. It seems a bit concerning.
Yeah, this is as reckless as happening, fortunately, in other parts of the world, not in Alabama, because we just don't have tolerance for that kind of stuff. We're very supportive of law enforcement, but it is a nationwide phenomenon that's taking place with the acquiescence of local authorities. The fact that district attorneys around the country have decided they're not going to prosecute criminal behavior is going to breed more criminal behavior. It's not brain surgery. I think that the Biden administration is now trying to get back in front of this problem, but I don't know that they're going to be successful because it's happening at the local level around the country, and I don't see an end to it. I can assure you that we're going to do what we can when we take the majority in November to try to remedy this, but it is something that people are living with across the country that is painful.
Yeah, and you know, that's, you just talk about things that are going to could get worse before they get better. We still got a ways to go to November, and then maybe even getting into all the way to 2024. But certainly keeping an eye on that. Let's talk about what's going on abroad. China, the Olympics underway in Beijing right now. You said something earlier I thought was really interesting, that China was trying to polish up its image and trying to get in a position where it can move on Taiwan and use the Olympics as kind of a vehicle to get there. Well, what's the outlook on China today? Does it, because the polishing up of the image thing for China, I don't know that they're going to get much bang for their buck out of the Olympics. But other than that, do they still look like they're poised to make a big move?
Yeah, I am being advised by our military that they believe it's not as imminent as I have been thinking it would be. I have been under the impression, and I still kind of believe, that they may move on Taiwan within the next year. I'm being advised by the Defense Department it's going to be a little bit longer timeline than that. But the fact is they are using the Olympics for that purpose, and I've been very disappointed that Vladimir Putin and Russia have been working in partnership with him. But they're both doing it for the same reason. They all want to polish up their interest, their image in the world's eyes, and also make sure each other's got the other one's back.
Well, as far as the U.S. goes and our tack, our approach to Chinese foreign policy, Joe Biden has the weird Chinese ties or whatever, and you know, the whole saga with his son. But in some ways, there's a kind of a feeling that maybe he's not as aggressive as he needs to be toward China, and what they, you know, to kind of at least rhetorically in getting them to back off on some of their efforts to advance or whatever.
And bless his heart, he's not as aggressive as he needs to be about anything. He's unfortunately senile and not up to the challenge of being president of the United States. But I also think the people around him are Obama people, and they're just generally appeasers. Yeah, they're not willing to, they're not prepared or qualified to be folks advising the leader of the free world. And I think that's unfortunate. It's going to get us in a much worse situation than we were coming into this administration.
Right. And then they just, what would be a good approach? Say we have President XYZ Republican, and that the what would be a good American approach to push it back against China?
Well, first thing we should have done is we should have been given lethal aid to Ukraine months ago, as Jim Inhofe, who is the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, my counterpart, as you know, I'm the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee. We have been urging the Biden administration for months to give lethal aid to Ukraine to make sure that we deter Russian aggression. The Biden administration has ignored us, and now it's really too late. But that's one of the things they should have been doing, and it would have, in fact, I believe, deterred their aggression. which I think would have then sent a message to China that we would not be passive or appeasers when it came to aggression against Taiwan. Having said that, I think there's some things we can do to help Taiwan with defense capabilities that would also send a signal to China that if they were to be aggressive against Taiwan, we would not sit idly by and do nothing. And I think that would deter their behavior as well.
Well,
I'm not going to get into specifics because that's classified.
You mentioned Ukraine, and that's obviously a hot topic right now. Russia looks poised to do something. The troop buildup at the border there. Talk about that situation. Just how much should the U.S. be involved? You mentioned lethal aid. Beyond that, do we do more?
Well, the truth is that it's kind of late now. Again, I can't get into specifics and stuff I know, but we could have been doing a lot of things that would have sent a message to them that going in was not going to be as successful as it may be now. But one of the things that I'm pushing for now is to make sure that we dramatically increase our troop presence in NATO countries around the area. Everybody in your audience needs to know that Ukraine is not a member of NATO. They've made application. They're close to being approved, but they're not. But almost every country around them is, in fact, a NATO member. And under the NATO agreement that we're in Article 5, any member of NATO that's invaded by another country, the remaining members of NATO will come in and push out the invading country, which basically means we get pulled into a war. So what I would like to see happen, because I think Putin's going to invade Ukraine regardless, it's so late now, is for us to send significant troop increases that are there on a permanent basis in all the Eastern European NATO countries to let Putin know, this is what you did. You may have gotten Ukraine, but now we have a much stronger NATO presence because of your bad action, to let him know there's consequences for this. And I think we're going to do that. I know the Congress is wanting to do that. I know the European Command Commander, General Walters, wants that. The NATO countries in the area have requested that. And I think that's going to be the consequence of his aggressive behavior, is a much stronger U.S. presence in NATO countries. And that's going to really upset Vladimir.
What is your take on NATO these days? Some think it's antiquated. Germany doesn't seem to be as big of a are playing the right role. Is it something that is sustainable?
It is, but again, I think that we have to strengthen our role. We have to remember we're the world's only superpower. They look to us for guidance. We did ourselves a lot of damage when we withdrew from Afghanistan the way we did, without consultation with our coalition allies, most of which were European allies, both Western and Eastern European allies. And their feelings got hurt, and they have questions about our credibility and our reliability as an ally. So we have some real problems that we've got to deal with, but NATO is very important for our nation's security and for the world's security. And it's in all of our interest that we keep it strong and viable.
So, if Vladimir Putin gets Ukraine, do you worry that, we could bolster NATO, but would he have his eyes on something else? Would he move further into Eastern Europe?
That's my concern, is that once he takes Ukraine, he may decide to try to go on into the Baltics, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, they're all NATO allies, and that would trigger Article 5 and what I would call World War III. And the way I think that he would argue that was necessary, because he still has, on the Baltic Sea, he has some Russian territory there, that he would say that those countries really wanted to be in Russia, and they needed some help. That's what I worry about. I don't know that he'd be able to, because I tell you, Jeff, I really think that once he gets Ukraine, he's going to find it hard for him to economically.
Congressman, we got to cut it there, but you've been very kind to come on. Won't you bury me in Dixie?